Welcome to a special series of the Global CISO Forum podcast honoring the EC Council Foundation InfoSec Tech and Exec Awards finalists. For the next 3 weeks, we will be interviewing the best and brightest in InfoSec who have been named finalists for the CISO of the Year, Certified CISO of the Year, Most Improved Security Program of the Year, and Most Innovative Security Project of the Year.
Welcome to the Global CISO Forum, the podcast for information security executives.
With me today is Pavan Kumar Bolisetti. He is the global head of information security for Wavecrest Holdings, but more importantly, he is a finalist for the CISO of the Year award, and we're very excited to give that award, and maybe even Pavan Kumar will be the winner. Welcome.
Thank you, Amber.
Thank you for coming on the program. We were really excited to get your nomination. It's very detailed. So it looks over the past year, you have done a lot at Wavecrest Holdings. First things first, can you tell us what Wavecrest Holdings does?
Wavecrest is a financial institution. It's based out of Gibraltar in the UK. So Wavecrest is primarily into payment service provider, as well as provider of digital wallet applications. So we have a core payment platform where we can integrate or white label our partners for their payment solutions. So you can have, we also issue prepaid cards, prepaid Visa and MasterCard, and Discover in US. So we operate across three continents and six countries. We have our back office and development center based out of Hyderabad in India. And I currently based in Hyderabad, India. So taking care of the global security operations of Wavecrest.
So in your nomination, it talks about how you've implemented a comprehensive IT governance, risk, and compliance program, GRC, across global locations and data centers. That sounds like an incredible undertaking. Can you tell us a little bit about how you did that?
Okay. Yes. So we actually, as I said, like we being in the financial services and into payments, we need to abide with some of the regulatory requirements, including PCI DSS and some of the regulatory requirements like ISO 27001, ISO 9001, ISO 14001, as well as we need to be successful in the third-party audits of the MetaBank, as well as the customer requirement of audits like SSA 16. So it was, in fact, a challenge to implement a comprehensive IT governance, risk, and compliance across our data centers and the offices across the globe. So it started with implementation of the GSA program, which includes your the risk management exercises and implementation of technology controls. In the same way, having the training programs and security awareness programs on the global staff, as well as the security architecture and designing of the web and mobile applications. So this was, I would say, like it all could have been, was achieved only with the collaboration support of the all team members of the, and the respective department heads of all departments, because it's never a single man exercise and it requires the tight support from your management in supporting your the GRSA program, as well as the support of your the security team, as well as support from the all respective head of the departments for implementing the strong security practices and integrating that as part of the security culture in the organization.
Yeah, so you touched on the security culture. Part of your nomination dealt with employee security education. What kind of education programs did you roll out?
That's great. I mean, the first thing is, the primary factor that I actually encountered was, it is in order to achieve the whole compliance program across the all regions on the data centers and all regions across the globe. So as I said, like, there should be a collaborative approach. So for that, I started something called SWAT. So SWAT stands for the Security Weaknesses and Assessment Team. As I said, like, you need collaboration of different team members. So it's more like a shared resource pool of security experts, which I had prepared. So by, it's SWAT is more like a nomination process where any enthusiast, the team member of any department can be part of the SWAT team. And by thumb rule, all HODs would become the part of the SWAT team. So we started something called a SWAT team. It was, in fact, a very good the collaborative exercise that I would say. So all the SWAT team members, so we made a SWAT team, and after that, all SWAT members are being trained on information security practices. So either it could be the training that is required for the security auditing, or it could be the security awareness program. So let me talk first on the security auditing exercise. Mm-hmm. So all these SWAT members are trained on the information security, the compliance practices that need to be adhered in the respective teams. So all were trained on information security practices. It was like a rigorous 2 month of exercise. So we could able to successfully, make a great SWAT team. So the SWAT team is responsible for two things. Number one, to implement the security practices or the best practices within the respective teams and report to the CISO on the gaps that they had encountered. And once that is achieved, step two, so it's a cross-domain audit. So one team would be auditing the other team, and again, report back to the CISO, that is me, on the gaps that they had encountered in the other cross-domain functional teams. So by this exercise, it was a very easy task for us to identify gaps across the teams and the competencies that are required to implement the best practices within respect to teams. So this also has helped us in taking some of the decisions on investment of technology controls that are required on the respective teams. So one is the internal auditor training, as I said, and number two, the security awareness programs. The security awareness programs were actually more like, what we thought is like, general calling them into a classroom and taking the training programs may not be that effective. So what we started was, we thought there should be some sort of interesting way where we can attract the audience in making them aware and to follow the practices. For that, what we had done was we started something called the video presentations on the latest security breaches, like where, for example, to provide awareness to the developer teams. So we have prepared some sort of videos how you could able to hack the respective code by respective vulnerability. So which actually makes them aware. So if I say like, there is vulnerability called so and so, say like cross site scripting or SQL injection, probably it may not be induced unless and until it is a demonstrative. So what we did was we have done sample video demonstrations on what each vulnerability talks about and how you can able to exploit the respective vulnerability. So it actually helped them to understand the impact of the respective vulnerability, and also able to understand how they could able to successfully remediate in a faster approach. So apart from the training and awareness programs of the development team for the general public, so we also created some sort of the security awareness videos and distributed over the email, and we had a separate channel created internally where every video once in a week, and on different sort of the security awareness practices that they generally usually encounter, as well as we created some sort of the security newsletters, which talks about the recent security breaches and the different remediations that can be, the different security practices that has to be followed in order to mitigate this kind of security breaches and to follow the best security practices.
Wow, it sounds like you really covered everything. I like that you did different kinds of training for different levels of employees so that the developers got something a lot more robust. Did you find any developers got interested in security more after the training?
That's interesting. Yes.
You did?
So that's actually a tricky thing, I would say. Like when you look at the developer's perspective, so the first thing that you generally hear from every developer, every developer that I had come across was, my code was really great and it is more secure. So until unless you show them the possible ways of exploitation of respective code, they don't really understand the impact of it. Mm-hmm. So it is more important that when you talk about the development related things, so there are two things. One is like designing up of the security architecture and the security practices that has to be followed during coding of the respective or the development of respective program. And once that is done, and phase two, you need to evaluate how secure the program has been developed. So in the second phase, when you identify or evaluate how the respective program is developed, so you need to perform some of the vulnerability management or pen testing exercises to ensure how risky is the application or how secure is the application. So once that is done, you get the exact posture of how the application code is. And based on that, you can actually design your training program to meet the respective targeted audience. If I say like 10 points to the developer team, probably the 10 points may not suit to his requirement, because he would be working, or he may be interested only those 5 points. So these 5 points would be known only after the phase two exercise, that is after a pen testing exercise. You would see like these are the possible exploits in your code, and this is how you have to fix, and this is what the training program is intended to, then that would be more appealing or interesting to the respective development teams. So even development teams are structured across, different supporting platforms and supporting languages. So it always needs to be target-driven exercise.
Right. Another thing that I like is something in your nomination says that you were able to harness business intelligence tools to build entity-specific frameworks to sort of coordinate them all into a single framework. That sounds incredibly complicated. Tell us a little bit about that.
The more required, so when you talk about security, so it is more on the context-driven exercise. So once you have some sort of a collaboration of or a single dashboard kind of an entity where you can able to see the exact security posture of the entire organization, that is where you can actually have the security control on your fingertips. So to achieve that, So you would require some sort of the business intelligence tools where you, coordinate all your the compliance requirements into a single framework. So when you say compliance requirements, say, for example, we need to comply with regulations like PCIDSS, ISO 27001, the third-party requirements. So you actually need to comply with multiple regulatory standards. So until and unless you have a unified approach or a framework, you cannot actually drive the program. So it always needs some sort of a business intelligence tool and the enterprise dashboard where you can actually see the entire security posture of your organization to see like where you stand and how you can able to achieve the program and what would be the estimated time to meet your the compliance levels.
Yeah, and also in here it says that all through the nomination it talks about you building tools and different dashboards and things. Are those dashboards available to just the general employees, or are they just for the security team, or are there different levels for each level of employee?
Okay, so these dashboards, there are different classification of dashboards. So there are some dashboards which would be shared only to the board of directors, so which actually talks on more on the executive summary level, where we stand at the moment. And what is the current security posture? So, and what it takes to remediate the respective risk, and how much it would cost, so, and what would be the return on investment? So these kind of dashboards are targeted more to the board, and there are technical dashboards which are targeted to monitor the day-to-day activities. So, for example, we have a SOC team which operates 24/7. So these dashboards available to the SOC team can able to ensure the technical monitoring capabilities on the daily transactions. Say, for example, we process millions of card numbers on a day-to-day basis to see like what has been triggered, or is any security incident that has been captured, or any sort of a network incident that has been encountered. So things like that. So there are different dashboards for the technical teams, and there's a different dashboard for the executive teams.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you just kind of mentioned something, but there's a dashboard for the board. That is very cool. Does that help them with, because, a lot of times on this we talk about that the CISO usually only has a little bit of time with the board. They have to make their case quickly. But if you've built an entire dashboard for them, they could come back and look at it anytime, conceivably. Have you seen good results from that?
Yes, awesome. Indeed, yes. See, the most important aspect that I noticed is how you communicate with the board and how you actually talk in the language. If I say like a vulnerability or some sort of an exploit, so probably it may sound foreign to them, but if you talk in the language, so this is what the risk is and this is what the impact is. So in order to mitigate that, so this is the cost to mitigate the respective risk. So it actually helps them to understand in a broader level, okay, this is what I'm gonna need to spend for mitigating those risks. And so it actually helps them to be more, it helps them to take, the strategic decisions on what to implement, what not to implement, things like that. So it would actually be very helpful. And in fact, we could able to show them the successful achievements with the dashboard, and I could able to win the good budget requirements for my the securing the enterprise. So being a financial institution, it is more important because I actually find hundreds of incidents on a say weekly or monthly basis. Wow. And it's very important to actually to be well equipped with where we are and where we stand, and what is it required to ensure, you know, the business tank stands even during time of security breach and to prevent any sort of security breaches to happen.
Right.
So this dashboard really helped the board to, you know, take strategic decisions and help them in, you know, the budget requirements as well.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a really innovative mix of technology, but then you've also done the other part with the policies and the education and the awareness to build up a really strong security program. They've just got to be so happy with you over there. I hope they give you a raise soon. It seems like you've done a ton of things.
Yeah, so yes, in fact, you're right. I mean, our appraisal cycle is on every March. They got it.
Awesome. I'm so happy. So besides getting raises, and that's how you know you're doing a good job, something else that you talk about in here is security metrics. What kind of metrics do you find work the best as far as, you know, driving further performance?
Security metrics in this sense?
So I guess just defining your goals, how you're going to measure your program. What kind of metrics have you found work the best for what you're trying to achieve? Because we talk about it a lot, and it's like, is it, you know, is it just a decrease in incidents? Is it an increase in reported problems? Is it a decrease in employees clicking on phishing emails, that kind of thing? What kind of metrics work for your company?
Yeah. In fact, as I told you before, like, you know, having a comprehensive dashboard and the segregated dashboards for the respective teams, it actually helped us to, you know, to create awareness programs targeting to respective departments. In fact, we also had provided training programs on social engineering because this is the age of advanced persistent threats, and even being in a financial institution, we find a lot of social engineering attacks on a daily basis. So it is more like you get emails no matter what technology you have or technology controls that you have in place, the most important factor is the people. So they are very vulnerable to any kind of attacks like this. So by having the security programs targeted to the respective individuals, so we noticed a great change in the mindset of the general public and the operational teams, where we had noticed, you know, so we also have the monitoring metrics or the monitoring mechanism where you can actually see, like, okay, how many individuals been clicking on the malicious links or prone to the phishing attack. So we have seen reduced the users clicking on malicious links or accessing the malicious emails. And in fact, it also helped in the heightening the incident management process where even if they find something suspicious, they say they instantly ring to the incident management team or they send a mail to incident management team that we find something suspicious. So we found that the user awareness has been increased a lot in the current global staff. And we also actually deal with, so we have a KYC verification team. Like, they actually, when issue the prepaid cards, we do a KYC verification check. So it also helped us to educate the KYC teams. And we also use some sort of social media monitoring tools, adapted using the social media monitoring tools to detect any sort of the fraud, and you know, also increased due diligence of the verification process.
Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about you personally. How did you get into information security?
Okay. Well, I did my bachelor's in engineering, in computer science and engineering, B in computer science and engineering. Later, my master's in advanced networking and telecommunications. So we used to have the curriculum of information security, you know, starting from the graduation days. So I was actually very interested in the IT networks and security during my engineering days. And later, I chosen the networking as my specialization, so did my master's. Well, so apart from that, with the interest, I could able to do some of the certification programs of EC Council and CIW and back in 2004. So they have the specific curriculum targeted to the basic and advanced security programs. So which actually helped me to strengthen my career. And I joined Tata Technologies as a security consultant. That's my the career path in information security.
Well, that's very cool. I'm really happy to hear that EC Council was part of it. We love hearing that.
So I did certifications back in 2004.
Oh, it's time for a new one.
I did almost like three certifications with EC Council.
Oh, you did? So CEH, ECSA, LPT?
The CEH, Certified Ethical Hacker, Computer Hacking Forensic Investigator, and Certified Security Analyst.
Very cool. Well, I think it's time for you to do your certified CISO. Since you are part of our CISO program now. So with that.
Right, yes.
Well, thank you so much for being such an enthusiastic member of the EC Council family. And I really hope that we get to see you next month. Wow, it's almost this month. In Atlanta. Do you think you'll be able to make the trip?
Yes. So I got my counselor interview scheduled tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I've got my first round of interview done with the consulate. So tomorrow is the second round of the counselor interview.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on our program, Pavan Kumar, and I look forward to meeting you in Atlanta.
Thank you, Amber. I'll see you at Atlanta.
Awesome. That'll do it for this episode of the Global CISO Forum podcast. The show is produced by Saba Mohammed, edited by Shandine Tome. You can help the show by subscribing on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you would leave a review for us, that would help other people find the show. Until next time, this is Amber Pedroncelli.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Global CISO Forum, the podcast for information security executives.